On FM, on DAB, and up to date on social media. We are Radio Newark.
Well, okay then, we didn't want a jingle, so we'll just talk amongst ourselves then. Never mind. It's Thursday night, it's Radio Newark Sport, and tonight we look at a local football institution, British Rail Newark FC. And to tell us all about it, George Good and Jock Malarkey are at Sport HQ. We take one last look at what happened last week, and of course we look forward to what's happening this time round on the one and only and the renowned Radio Newark Sport.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
There, you knew the jingle was there somewhere, didn't you? Anyone know a good production team out there that wants a job? Anyway, let's cheer ourselves up and look at some of the quirky stories that's making this week's news. And Swansea City may play in the Championship, but they're charging parents Premier League prices if their children want to be mascots. It costs up to £478 for a matchday mascot package at the Championship club. Only three teams in the Premier League charge more. And Manchester City do not charge at all for the opportunity. That's fairly big of them. Most packages include a full kit, match tickets, photographs and autographs, as well as walking out before the kick-off. But a £270 deal at Fulham does not include a kit, while £185 at Bournemouth does not come with a ticket to the game. Brilliant. The attendance at Truro City's home match with Torquay on New Year's Day was 2,812. Including 2,760 away fans. That's right, 52 Truro fans attending the match. They ground share at Torquay. Well, they did then. You're looking confused, Tony. The Sunday Times gave 7 out of 10 rating to Grimsby's Andrew Fox for his performance against Crystal Palace. Not that I'm a football expert, but it's impressive given that Fox was sent off after 2 minutes, his sole contribution being the shin-high studs-up challenge on Andros Townsend. Sheffield United manager Chris Wilder told his players not to walk out through the main entrance, but try to find a side door and sneak out after they'd been beaten 1-0 at home against Barnet in the FA Cup. He said the fans should have booed louder and calling the performance arrogant and his biggest disappointment in his full football career. And I saved the best one, I think, till last, really. The last time Queen's Park Rangers won an FA Cup match without needing the replay was in 1997. They actually beat Barnsley in 1997. Now, who did they beat in the third round of the FA Cup this year? Oh, come on, it's there somewhere. Queen's Park Rangers 2, Dirty Leeds 1. Now we can finally get the show underway, I think, because we've had all the ad breaks, we've had everything else, so we're going to have a nice long chat now. Our guest tonight, two legends of Newark football, and what we like doing on this show more than anything, of course, is reminiscing, and that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to go right back to the olden days, and we're going to say hello to George Good and Jock Malarkey. Gentlemen, good evening.
Good evening, mate.
Bit of a mess up at the start of the show. I apologise for that.
Tony, can you
just lift that mic a little bit for him, and then we're going to get right... George, now, I mean, I'm a Simo's man, so I didn't sort of see much of British Rail, because I spent all my time down at Lowfields.
I'm sure you were there the day we beat you in the
I knew that was coming. Yes, I was.
Yeah.
My memory says 2-1.
2-1.
It was not senior cup, wasn't it?
Some of your lads used to train with Railways on a Thursday, but they got stopped because they thought we'd kick them on a Thursday. But I mean, we kicked our own players. Never mind.
I was actually talking to Tony about that last night. I said, I'm sure my memory's not playing up, but the only time that the two Saturday clubs come together was in that match at Lowfields.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping I remember that, because we've got Briggy in the middle of one team and Dozzle in the other.
Yeah, Dozzle was playing for us.
Dozzle was you, and Briggy was Flo's there. The, best of buddies.
Well, Gary Iverson's asked me to mention him because he's called the winner.
Yes, he did. Just to rub salt into the wound. Yes,
If he hadn't had the gate shut, he'd have been at Claypool before we got to him.
and Gary being typical, Gary didn't mention it.
No. He's mentioned it to me a couple of times.
Yes,
on New
I can
Year's
imagine.
Eve.
Yes. Let's now we've got that one out of the way. Let's go back to the beginning and find out a little bit about you, George, first, if we can. Your footballing career. So I've known you as manager of British Rail, but before manager of British Rail, who did you play for?
I played for Ransom and Moles. That's where I actually started with Muscombe, South Muscombe, when in the my old minor league, and then I joined Ransom and Newark Central. I played at Newark Central for two or three couple of seasons.
Newark Central. Now that's a name I don't know.
Yeah. When, quite a good side.
What sort of time are we going back to on that one?
I was playing for them when I left school, so that was 1951. I played for South Muscombe and then probably a couple of seasons later. They were in the new minor league. They had a senior team, which was the under 18 league, and an under 16 league, which we started in.
In your time at Ransom Moles, they was in the Central Alliance, wasn't it? And they was a top club in the Midlands.
Yeah, I played for all four teams: the youth team, the A team, the reserves, and for the first team. I was in the first team for four seasons, John. I mean, I was in the army as well at that time, so I played when I was at home. The last couple of seasons, I would say, and then you get to I was nearly 24 when I came out of the army. So, and I was married, and I think you realise you're not going to make it then. So that's when I started to play with my mates.
We had Eric and Billy Coombs in.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks ago, and they were talking about Ransom and Moles, obviously. And
yeah, well, both of them played for Ransom and Moles. Billy came to Railways from Ransoms.
And we spoke about Elm Avenue.
Yeah.
And the stand and the stands behind the goal and the turnstiles to come in and the fact that it was the place to play football.
Yeah. I mean, when you were playing in, they had sort of a double layer duck boards around the side of the pitch as well for spectators. I mean, they got good crowds in them days, because I mean, there wasn't the amount of cars going to Forest and things like that.
No,
I mean they got. I mean, you can imagine a ground like that. It's gone to rack and ruin. I mean, it had two turnstiles. It was, it was a proper football ground and a really good playing piece.
You get the you for today sitting to your side there saying, oh, what fantastic crowds they get up at Lowfields. Yeah. Nah, no. Yeah, I mean, I'm not knocking the crowds now, but in the olden days, a lot of people watched Newark football.
I've been to one game there and there was, I think it was the best crowd they'd had all season, that against Barrow or somebody. But Newark side were much too good, I thought. I came away 20 minutes from the end and got five or six goals. And it was cold.
So
it was that day, yeah.
Your footballing career was
mainly with Ransoms.
Mainly with Ransom and Moles, okay. Then,
I mean, so I was at Ransoms from, say, 16 up until I went in the army at I was nearly 22 when I went in the army, because I was deferred because I was doing an apprenticeship, and the first year I was in, first 16 months I was in England, and then no, the first 8 months I was in England, and then I was 16 months in Germany. So I went home very much to play football.
Okay, let's just move the mic around a little bit, because alongside of you is a young man who was, I've never seen play football, so I'm going to learn an awful lot tonight. Jock Malarkey. Jock, welcome to Radio Newark. Let's Let's get the first things out of the way first. Tony says nobody's going to understand you.
Yeah, you know what?
I'm sure if we can understand him, we can understand you.
I can hear you.
What's a man with an accent like that doing in Newark?
Oh, I came down to do my national service, I did, 1954. Yeah, I came down my national service.
So you've been down here since 54. So you've been down here 60-odd years, and you still retain the old accent.
I don't know why, but it's just one of these things, I suppose. Yeah.
So
his dad reckoned he's an Englishman.
Is it Glasgow then, or is it?
Oh, Glasgow,
It's Glasgow.
The holy city.
Yes, it's Glasgow. See, what worries me here is that, you know, if we get off football and probably onto rugby, we've got a Scotsman sitting next to a man with a Welsh jacket on. Yeah. So I'm sure you two are great friends, but when it comes to rugby, you don't agree.
Oh, I don't mind. I've been down to Wales to watch Wales playing rugby.
He's the only Scotsman out there singing the Welsh national anthem.
Say that in Welsh.
He can sing it in Welsh, can he?
Yeah.
Okay, by 8 o'clock, we'll have him doing that.
that's only because my wife, who is George's sister, taught me how to do it.
Ah, right.
How to sing it.
And I don't think it's a secret. Well, it's not a secret, because he knows, Tony knows about it, so it can't be a secret. You've got a birthday coming up.
I'm afraid I have, yes.
Do we tell the listeners how old?
Well, you can, I'm not bothered at all.
Go on then, Mr. Smith.
71. No, Jock will be 84 on Sunday.
84 on Sunday. Yeah. You don't look anywhere near. You look younger than Mr. Smith.
You'll do for me.
Mind you, we all look younger than he does.
I'd had a big paper round.
So, what's your football background?
Well, I played a bit of football up in Glasgow. I played for a junior side. I was probably, what you might say, a paid amateur. I got my expenses. When I came in the army, I was playing in the unit football team. The RSM asked me if I'd like to play Saturday football and introduced me to Ransman Marles. That's how I got to know George. And further on, got to know his sister. Who is now my lovely wife. And I played football. I played at Ransman Marles for a good few years, won the league with them as well. And I went to Farnham, played with Farnham for a while. Actually, we met Ginger, he played with Farnham as well. And then I finished up at Railways.
I want to get onto Railways because that's what you're both here for, but I'm absolutely sort of fascinated just listening to you both. What was football like in Glasgow in the sort of early 50s then? Was it?
It was rough and tough. Yeah, and
no grass on the pitches.
It was although it was organised, officially leagues and all that carry on. The grounds were the actual grounds were a bit rough. Not all the pitches. There were some cracking grounds, but the one I happened to be playing on was a bit.
not so good. And what was it? Rangers Celtic in them days, you know, you was one or the other, and those.
Absolutely. It was maybe a wee bit more so.
Because in them days, of course, the actual players was Glasgow players as well, weren't they? Not, you know,
from that side of the world. That's right. That's quite true. Yeah. And of course, they knew the score. These, the foreign chaps who play for them now. I think they've got to be educated into the rivalry.
And are you a hoop or are you a blue?
Yeah, I'm a green and white.
You're
Celtic
green and white,
man.
Right.
Born and bred.
Get on the right side of that one. Serious trouble.
Could be a very short show. it could be. Might need some more rogue adverts to film.
I like this. Get the ad break out of the way. Get it sorted out. Yeah. So at the end of... As your football careers come to an end, both of you then, as your football careers come to an end, where did British Rail start coming into the equation?
What do you mean, as a player? Or
You was obviously played for Ransom and Marles.
I mean, I spent 20 years at Railways.
At some stage, where does Railways come into your life?
When I came out of the army, my dad was the trainer at Farndon, and we joined Farndon for that, more or less for that reason. But it wasn't quite what I was looking for, if you know what I mean.
Because Farndon was, I think, I mean, I know you just, when we were talking, Farndon was a breeding ground.
Yeah, well, the, I say, John, myself, and Ginger Burkett all played. And we all, I joined Railways because I had a slight dispute with Farndon. I don't like saying this, but it wasn't quite professional enough for what I was looking for. I mean, I'd been playing with some... I've been playing with some really good players in the army, you know, professionals, and it was a village team, and it was dictated by the cricket club a little bit, you know, just because some of the cricket lads played, and or more of the cricket lads played, and it just wasn't what I was looking for, and I suppose I was young and headstrong. And I decided to move on, and I moved on.
Apart from the young bit.
Yeah, apart from the young bit, yeah. Yeah. I went to Railways at the end of the 62 season, and John and Ginger and Malt Beedham joined the following season, along with John Cartwright and Alan Age, who's now no longer with us. And they'd both played for Farndon as well.
So, I mean, that's the first illusion that I had as being checked, because I thought you found Railways, but there was a club there before.
Oh, no,
you,
no. Before it, was, you went there. It was formed in 1952, and it was formed for people who worked on the railway, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in them days, we had all the works teams, didn't we?
Yeah,
I mean, in Newark.
The original side... I mean, some of them still played with us, you know, like Kenny Thornton, Treb Bombroff, and Dennis Yeomans, and Bert Lale, who played for them. He was running British Rail. Alan Wass, who was the trainer throughout the time that we played, he also worked on the railway. And I mean, they started in 1950. I think it was 52. Was it 47? It was just after the war. Let me just refer to...
refer to the notebook.
Yeah. They were formed in 1950.
In 1950.
And they went into the Newark and District League in the division, what was Division 2 in them days, in 1952.
Of course, again, for our younger listeners, we used to have two divisions of football played on a Saturday in Newark.
Yeah.
When I got involved, Simo's reserves played.
Yeah, well, yeah.
In that, while the first team was in the Notts Alliance.
Yeah.
And we'll find out in a little time that Rail went into Nottinghamshire football. Well,
the same with Ransom Malls. They had three teams, and their third team was in the Newcombe district. I joined in 62, and they'd had a reasonable amount of success. They'd won the Division 2 Championship, and they won the Hospital Cup a couple of times, which is one of Railway's favourites, because we won it about 11 times.
Well, of course, there was the Hospital Cup, and there was the Harrison Cup,
They formed a subsidiary cup as well. They hadn't won the Harrison Cup, and we won the Harrison Cup the year when all of us joined, you know, John and... We won it that year for the first time, and I think the thing they wanted to win was the Newcombe District League. We could get near, but we couldn't, and we didn't win it until 66.
Well, that 67. Seemed to be the domain of Ransom and Miles and
Wellington
Simpson, Bolton Wanderers. Bolton Old Boys was in there as well.
Yeah,
wasn't they?
I mean, and several Colliery teams.
Yes,
yeah, you know. I mean, it was a good league. We played, I think we played 22, 24 matches in the season.
Can't imagine that now, can you, Tony? A local league playing that many league matches in a season.
It's fantastic.
No. The season we won it, we scored 103 goals and let in 23. Which...
Don't tell me you beat Simo's in the final, please. Don't rub salt in the wounds.
Well, this was the win of the league. I mean, we have beaten Simpsons.
A recurring thing, clearly.
But they actually, one of the things that, you know, Bert and Alan really wanted to win was the Notts Junior Cup.
Yes.
And we got to the final, semi-final that year, and Simpsons beat us in the semi-final on Ransoms, and we had to play extra time. And I'm not, this is without a word of a lie, it was that dark when we finished that Colin Kemp picked the ball up on our penalty area and ran and carried it and had a shot. Because it was that dark. But the beaters won none. And they played in all white, and
yeah,
we were in all blue. So you could, all navy blue. Yeah. So you can imagine, we couldn't even find our own players.
Because that's another thing, Mr. Smith, when you start going on about this orange and everything, Renton Simpsons should play in all white. That's what they played in the heyday. That's what you should go back to. Just a point.
I can remember when they played in chocolate and white.
Yes, I can. Yeah, I can go back to that.
Yeah.
I go back to that one.
Yeah.
When then did you take over the realms, or the two of you, sort of?
That would have been, not brilliant on dates, but...
Was it a...
Well, Bert and Alan, they'd had a really good run, and we had, by then, won the Notts Junior Cup, which is what they...
That was the only grail.
Yeah.
I mean, can you remember who you beat?
Yeah, we beat Sheepbridge Shield 6-0 in the final.
Excellent. Where at?
At, was it Ollerton?
Clipston.
Yeah, it was, yeah, Clipston.
It's amazing how many good finals have been played on Clipston.
Yeah. Yeah, that was...
That was good for us. It wasn't good for us.
we took two busloads of supporters with us, and the second busload hadn't got on the ground when we scored. And, I mean, they'd obviously watched us, because they'd beaten, I don't know, it's two or three teams out of the Newark League to get to the final. I know they beat Ransoms, and I know that they beat North Muscombe. I'm not sure who else to beat, but they'd obviously watched us, because we had a free kick in the first few minutes, and they knew Ginger was going to take it, and they knew he was going to hit it, and he chipped it onto the bar, and Pete Trotman stood underneath the bar and just poked it in.
I've got to ask you, I'm going to go off a little bit, but I've got to ask you, because we've been going on and on about who Simpson's Flow Serve's best centre forwards have ever been. But if you're looking at centre forwards in Newark centre forwards, I'll argue till I finish on this show that the hardest shot I've ever seen in Newark football, and the best centre forward the best Newark as a centre forward I've seen, you know, without bringing them in from Doncaster or Graham from wherever, is Ginger Birkett. What's your opinion? I know you don't want to talk about individual players.
No,
you told me that.
No.
But I just relax that for a minute and just Ginger Birkett.
Yeah. Most of the time that I played with Ginger, he didn't play as a centre forward, to be honest with you. I mean, that season that we won the league and the Notts Junior Cup, we had a chap who worked for CEGB, the electricity people, who was from the Midlands area, but he lived in this area. It was a bloke called Pete Trotman. And him and Ginger, every season, were fighting out for who got the most goals. But Ginger was more of a winger, I would say, wouldn't you, really, at that time. The best centre-forward, genuine centre-forward, though, is Porcy Conder.
Yeah, OK.
You can't get away from that.
Yeah, no,
you can't get away from his goals.
Mm.
I mean, he was idle in training.
Yeah.
In fact, if he could have stopped for a fag, he would have.
Yeah.
But you always knew that he'd score you a goal.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we knew that anybody had got to get two to beat us, because he'd score one anyway. And it didn't matter how much the centre-half threatened him. He just used to say, I'm going to score in a minute. and mostly he did. I mean, the number of goals that he scored in his particular time was unbelievable for Elvis, because other people chipped in with goals, I mean, the year we won, the year we won the league was obviously before Paul's time, when Ginger, Pete Trotman and Mark Beedham about scored, about all, nearly all scored the same number of goals. And me being, I was a wing off in them days. I did gradually move backwards to a full. But I mean, I think I scored double figures, so, you know, it's... But as regards, I mean, strikers, I mean, for hitting the ball hard, you're right about Ginger, but I don't think he was as good a dead ball striker of the ball as Bomber.
Right.
Trev Bombroff.
But, okay.
But hitting a moving ball,
it's
nothing in it.
No, it's just...
I mean... And he's a phenomenal goal scorer over his career.
He
anyway.
Is. He's a wonderful
and,
man.
And personality.
I
genuine personality.
I'd like, love to talk to his grandson, Josh, and I do wish him all the best at Boston and wherever he goes, because Josh is an absolute gentleman.
He's a grand lad. I train with him at the gym on Northgate. Not Northgate, Apton Gate.
Yeah.
The bloke who runs that played for me at Grove Rangers, Martin Cluro. And Josh, when he's not training at Boston, comes to...
He's the most well-mannered, polite man.
He's a lovely lad.
He is, isn't he? And Alan, I've got no doubt he's so proud of him.
We were doing circuits one particular night, and the chap who runs it said... to follow George around, Josh. So, you know, you do one exercise and you move on to the next one, obviously. And we'd finished, and he said, have a drink. It was halfway between it. And he said, my granddad knows you. And I said, who's that? And he said, Alan Burke. And I said, yeah. He said, he was born two houses away from where I live. I lived in Farndon.
Right, we're just going to... hopefully, I'm going to press a button, so literally anything could happen now, but if everything works as it should happen, what we're going to do is just have one quick 1 minute last look back at what happened last weekend. So fingers crossed, here we go. There, what could possibly go wrong? Collingham came back from previously unbeaten Retford with all 3 points. Paul Hyde's boys must be classed now as genuine title contenders after that performance. Flow serve it, Tevis up a 4, but Selston also win, so no change at the top of the East Midlands Counties League. Newark Town put in another good first half performance and another poor second half, as Clay Cross leaves Station Road with all the points. Newark Rugby Club compete a double over Dronfield, but South will lose again and are beginning to look doomed. The Hockey Club over 35s progressed in the Cup, Sarah Pass scoring twice, as they beat a national side, Doncaster, 4-2, and Amelia Crispin and Laura Bates got silver medals at the Notts Cross Country Championships. Chloe Hilbert, she got a gold in the Lincolnshire event.
This is Radio Newark Sport.
There, who was panicking?
Nice.
So, Tony, are we about caught up with where you joined this little show, or are you still learning?
No, when I joined the Advertiser, it was 1986, and I learnt as I went on in the job, but I also made it my job to learn about the history of the people that I was writing about and the football clubs I was writing about, so I do know these times that that George and Jock are talking about. But certainly, came onto the scene, Ginger Burkett and Paul Secondi were by that time midfield players. But
a sure thing.
Yeah.
As ever with footballers, they gradually move backwards.
So just help a Simo's man out here then. Yeah. Was you two the management team then at Rail? Josh, can I just go a bit closer to it?
I was a manager. John was a trainer. When Alan Walsh decided to, because when we had the changeover and Bert decided to retire, Alan Walsh stayed on for a while to help the transition period, you know, with me. And I mean, if I could describe them to, I mean, they were Mr. and Mr. yeah, British Rail. I mean, they were legendary, really. They did everything. They ran the secretary. I mean, we didn't really have a manager, did we, in them days? He just come round and said, "Are you all right for next week?" And we turned up, whether we're playing or not. I mean, I played for Railways for 10 years under Burton, never had a good game, but he picked me every week. but he was really a hard taskmaster.
Yeah.
You know, every week he was expected to do things, and then he decided for some reason that he'd pack it in. Although he still hung around, still looked after the cash of the club, you know, and we always had good kit. And everything else that we wanted, really. And Alan Wass stuck it for another couple of seasons, and then John came along and helped out with the trainer's job.
John, just can we just put that one, because again, I go back to where I sort of watched all my football, and it was with Eric Hunter's trainer
up at
Lowfields, and he to me was somebody who was tough. You know, he wore his socks outside his trousers, and the studs on his boots was about 6 inches, and you wouldn't argue.
No.
Now, I'm assuming that a Glasgow-born and bred trainer, you would sort of ruled with an iron rod?
Well, in training, all I did was carry the kit bag and look after any plasters or knee rubbing or whatever I was doing. I didn't...
The magic sponge.
And a magic sponge.
We talked about that the other week, and again with Eric, he ran on with the bucket of cold water and a sponge or a sock, put it on your knee that was hanging off at the time, and told you to get on with it.
That was it. Well, that was the best decision of it.
I broke two fingers and dislocated...
Hang on, George, you need one of these in front of you.
I broke two fingers and dislocated the both at the bottom joint. And they shoved my fingers in the bucket and just pulled them back in, and I carried on playing. Just strapped them both together and we carried on playing.
Because in them days, that was the trainer's job, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. You know,
there was no substitutes.
No, you can't beat playing the game. I shouted about on the pitch, but on the touchline, I had a mouth like as big as Portsmouth. I just kept yopping it because I was kicking every ball that the lads kicked, headed every ball, scored every goal. I just was in the game all the time. And, well, I couldn't relax on the touchline at all.
When you two was in charge and running the thing, it was the glory days, wasn't it? Because in those days, sort of, Grandson Miles had declined. Yeah. Simo's was the team. But Rail went on to equal and probably surpass.
I would say that,
We moved on into
the... obviously, we had local rivalries, and Baldock and Wanderers particularly were one, because most of the lads drunk in the same couple of pubs, and there was a little bit of needle between the two clubs, but we've recently had a couple of reunions, British Rail, and we've had them in Cumbo's pub, the Castle and Falcon. So, and he even displayed one of our trophies up there, at the last one that we had, which was a 50-year recognition of winning the Notts Junior Cup for the first time. And he said he never thought he would have a British Rail trophy up in his pool.
So what did you go into then? You obviously left Newark.
Yeah, we left. We won the Newark and District League and all three trophies and the Notts Junior Cup. And then the following season, we did exactly the same, but we were runners-up in the Notts Junior Cup. And so we applied several times for the Notts Alliance and got turned down. And we applied to the Notts combination, and actually the day I rang up was the night of their AGM, and they'd already got all the applications in, but he asked me to go along, and Bert Lael and myself went along, and they accepted it. They in them days had three divisions. They had a Premier, First and Second, and they accepted us into the Second Division. Before the season started, they promoted us to the First Division because they thought we might be a bit too strong for that division. We won the First Division and their what they call their Junior Cup, which is the Notts Combination, or was the Notts Combination Second Division Cup, if you know what I mean. We got promoted to the Premier Division and won that the first season we were in it. We slipped up the next year and then won it three times on the trot, including the double, where we beat Calvert in a snowstorm on Raswell Moor, didn't we?
I remember. Yeah.
I mean, Calverton, I mean, there was a lot of tough games in the combination.
Well, you're talking now, when you say Calverton, you're talking of Colliery teams when they had Collieries.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, I mean, there's no...
You know, and there's no comparison now.
No.
Between the teams that call themselves Calverton and those days when was playing against a team of minors.
Maggie murdered the Collieries and now Teresa's going to murder the car industry, I think. We'll do something, I'm sure.
We used to like playing against the Collieries sides. It was tough. Like they asked no quarter and they gave none.
Exactly.
And it was great.
If we drew a Mansfield club in the Notts Cups, we knew it was going to be tough.
It was hard.
We knew we'd got a game on our hands, but we could usually cope with it, I think, couldn't we?
Oh, yeah. I remember playing against Bilsop Colliery out at Bilsop, and they had a centre-forward there called John Clark. His nickname was Rubber. And I understood why they called him Rubber, because every time I knocked him down, he bounced straight back up again. Incredible.
Yeah.
So we're not going to... we agreed before we started that we wasn't going to highlight individuals, but let's just talk about the team and some of the players. Let's remind yourselves of some of the players that played under you for British Rail.
Let me say this to start with. The two real good periods in British Rail history... We had two excellent captains. John was one and Mel Prosser was the other. And both expected the best. And it was all British Rail. And it didn't matter who he was. I mean, I'm his brother-in-law and I had as many bollockings as anybody. Sorry.
All the tellings off are available.
I didn't have quite as many as the ref.
But because you know it was a referee that put you up for this, don't you?
I do, Andy.
Yes. Well, I'll say a referee. It was Andy. Yeah.
I did mention to him once he was a decent butcher.
As a referee, yeah.
They were two people I would mention is John and Mel. Players that I've enjoyed playing with are the ones that I actually played with, and then I mentioned them to before. There was John, Mel Prosser, Ginger Burkitt, Mark Beedham, Kenny Thorpe, and we were mates actually, all of us. It was a really matey club.
Now, as I remember, Mark Beedham, he was 5 foot nothing.
Nothing, yeah.
But skill-wise, yeah, there was nothing on him.
Oh, but half a stone wet through.
He was the best.
When he got the ball at his feet,
he was the best player that I've played with at Railways.
Yeah, good football. Yeah.
To be honest,
very good.
But I mean, everybody. It was a really matey club.
Yeah.
I mean, we'd probably go out for a drink with each other and things like that, you know. And and we still, if you bump into one of them today, you don't just go, "Hello, are you all right?" You stop, and you've got 10 minutes.
So let's have some. We mentioned Sicky, Paul Seconde, who was still playing at 50 plus, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And he still could outrun almost anybody. He could have given 30 years and still and still outrun them. He was a tremendous talent.
Definitely.
Yeah, well, I mean, his dad played for Railways.
Really, big Morris.
It was before our time, but Morris played. And his uncle, who's in America now, And when we put the message on Facebook for the reunions, we had a message from him, from his wife in South Carolina, saying they'd love to come, but it's a long way to come for a night out.
A long way to come for the Castle of the Falcon. As much as Cumbo's hospitality is good. Yeah. What about goalkeepers then?
Goalkeepers. I would say I personally don't think that we was ever overstrong with goalkeepers, but we've had good goalkeepers, and there's the two ledgers, Stephen and Tony. Tony played when we won the...
Did their old man play for us?
No.
But he played. He was a goalkeeper as well.
His dad was a goalkeeper. Yeah. And Dave McMahon was probably the best goalkeeper, if we could keep him on the pitch.
That's actually been said on this show before, hasn't it? Yeah. That comment has been made on this show.
He was a decent keeper.
I would. I would say he's the best.
What was John's name who played a bit when we first started? The lad who worked on the power station.
Oh, John Costello.
John Costello as well. He was a decent keeper as well.
Yeah.
But that was really about it.
But you didn't need... Well, say the names that you mentioned, I know those good keepers, and there was good keepers.
I mean, young Stephen, I mean, he's died now, unfortunately, was a good keeper, but he got tempted away to play at a higher level, or supposedly a higher level. Tony played for us. He was a bad keeper.
All right.
Who was the centre half in front of him then?
Well, John, obviously his lordship here.
With
Colin Kemp.
Colin Kemp as well.
We doubled it.
I tell you what, I've been listening. I've been interviewed and talked to Kenny Burns. There's an awful lot in common coming out here. I tell you, did he used to play like Kenny Burns?
Thank you very much, Tony.
At the Forest thing on the showground. I sat on Kenny Burns' table. It was very interesting.
Exactly. I've seen a lot of Kenny. I'm listening to a lot of Kenny Burns here.
We at Railways, we had a really what you might call a tough physical defence. we didn't take no prisoners.
This is diplomatic, isn't it?
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I am trying to be a little. You can tell. Well, when we actually won the league, we let 23 goals in probably 20 odd matches.
It's the game has changed beyond beyond all recognition.
What I liked about that season we won, we scored 103 goals. All the star players were plonking in the goals left, right, and centre, and they were all vying to get the 100th goal of the season. And they all missed it because the ball broke loose one just inside the halfway line, and old Dennis Yeoman's a fullback. He lamped it from the halfway line in the back of the net, got the 100th goal, and shut them all up after that.
Brilliant. Right, we're going to go into the lap of the gods again and press one of these buttons, and then when we come back, Tony, we're going to have a quick look at what's coming up this weekend. And then we're going to do a bit more reminiscing. Okay. At least that's what I've got written down here. The computer may say otherwise. Right, well, I'm that intrigued by what we're talking about, British Rail. We're going to get through this fairly quickly, Tony. So here we go.
Okay.
Flowserve welcome Clifton All Whites to Lowfields on Saturday, a match that is short. It's going to bring back memories for me of the old not-so-light days when they used to face each other on a regular basis, and it always used to be close.
It was very close. We played away at Clifton All Whites in the first away game of the season, the second match of the season. And it was a 2-2 draw, and we got away with it.
So it's not, it's by far from a gimme. On Saturday, the two sides' second strings meet at the Norman Archer Memorial Ground, and the Works are looking for a 9th straight victory, and they need that because they've got to get out of that division. It's as simple as that. Not senior league leaders Southall City welcome AFC Dunkirk to Bishop's Drive, and Southall pretty much have very close to blown it. 6 points clear with games in hand. They're now 2 points clear and have played more games than the others around them.
Yeah.
So it's not...
They just seem to have imploded, don't they?
They've not had a good sort of festive period, shall we say. Down the road, Damo Parkinson's baptism of fire continues after the league leaders last week. It's high-flying Redford United this week. After this week, though, they embark on a run of games that are winnable. So anything from this week is a bonus. Collingham travel to Thorn Colliery. That's not been a nice day out. 3 points a must, and if they get 3 points, they go second because Redford haven't got a game. So there's an incentive if there ever was one. It's cut weekend for our junior teams, Farndon Colts, from Division 3, the Notts Youth League, entertain Division 2 sides, Ravenshead, while it's an all Division 3 tie for Long Bennington when they play Skegg Bay. And that's all for a place in the last eight of that competition. The rugby club travel to Ilkeston, looking to complete a double over the Derbyshire side. And in a very tight division, Newark are 11 points above the drop zone and 8 points off a playoff place. And as Mr. Wildman told us, the cup is half full, not half empty, when he was telling us off on Monday night. Staying with rugby, the under-18 girls have a cup match against Hinckley. That's Sunday, 2 p.m. at Kelham Road. Hockey ladies' twos play Worksop at the Magnus, 10 a.m, while the men's twos travel to Mansfield in the afternoon. Busy weekend for athletics. The Athletic Club are back at Wollaton Park, this time in the North Midlands League. That's on Saturday, while Striders and Notfast will be out in force for the East Midlands Cross Country Meet on Sunday at Home Pierpont. It's a busy weekend for the tennis club as well. The men's double teams have to travel to East Bridgeford on Saturday and then entertain those rich people from the David Lloyd Centre on Sunday. Jags wheelchair basketball club return to action with a home match for the Jags twos against the Lancaster Bombers. That's 2 p.m. at the Magnus. And finally, back to football, and it's the Flowserve veterans at home for the second week running. They take on Gedling at Lowfields with a 2 o'clock kickoff. There's more than enough sport there to keep everybody happy this weekend. Go out there, enjoy it, watch it, and then listen to us next week while we try and get our heads around it and hopefully report on an awful lot of victories for our local sides. George, what do you make of what's happening now at Flowserve? Do you keep your eye on it? I mean, the game has... I mean, you've said earlier on, and from your day and from my day, when you knew you was playing for the next week and you played because you wanted to wear that shirt, now there's probably no such thing as an amateur game anymore, and no detriment to Flowserve or to Newark or to Collingham or to anybody else to get anywhere now. You're paying money.
I don't see a problem with Flowserve. They've moved on. They've got a little bit of a decent backer by all accounts. And they're bringing a standard of football back to Newark for people who don't want to go and watch Forest and County and Mansfield and such like as that. I mean, I'm a season ticket holder at Forest, so, you know, most of my Saturdays are taken up. But I've watched one game up there and it was a decent game. They look as though they're a little bit too good for that league, or plenty good enough for it, and hopefully they can move on. Finance will be a problem, I would imagine. I mean, because even when we were playing at Railways and we're travelling, you know, Notts combination games, it becomes expensive. Mm-hmm. You rely an awful lot on lads taking cars, things like that. I mean, going back to the days I played at Ransoms, I mean, we wouldn't have thought not enough players had cars in them days. We had a bus, you know. I mean, they picked about four players up in Newark, and then we went round the county picking the rest of them up. And it was very similar, I suppose, to our Flowserve are today. They've got players from different parts of the area or for the country. I mean, I personally didn't know very many of the people that were playing, but that may be my fault. I don't think I've followed local football too much. For me, Sunday football's deteriorated, and it's not... I don't want to go and see 11 blokes kicking each other. week in, week out, because they've come home from the pub about 3 in the morning or club 3 in the morning. But that's the way of it, isn't it, today?
It is. John, finally, because we're running out of time here, I'll have to get you two back in, because I feel there's an awful lot more. Yes, it is. It's gone. An hour's gone.
God,
I know.
God, I didn't tell. I thought it was only about 7:30.
John, you're if somebody had to say to you, what is your enduring memory of football, what's the number one in that list, right at the top of your biggest highlight in football?
Biggest highlight? Oh, crazy. Well, I think the biggest highlight for me was winning the semi-final the year we won the cup, the Notts Junior Cup, when we won 2-0 against, can't even remember who.
Oh, yeah, I didn't play Bull Farm.
Bull Farm, yeah, we beat them. That game I remember very well. Lots of the games I don't remember, but that one in particular I remember. It was because they put us under a kosher for a long period in the game. But we got the goals, and that's what counts.
That's all that matters. And towards the end, you managed Holy Trinity.
I did, yes. I had I didn't want to do the touchline business after I played, finished playing. But I always blame Pope John Paul when he came in 1982 and Father O'Sullivan. They got me involved in Holy Trinity Football Club.
Turned him round, John.
Yeah, well,
he did.
Tony, who was the worst on the touchline for Holy Trinity then? Mr. Malarkey or Father O'Sullivan?
Well, obviously, I can't say definitely Father O'Sullivan.
not true. But, I said I would only do it for 2 years and I'd pack up, but I stayed there until I had a little bit of an illness, and I packed up as a manager. But they kept me on. Mr. McCann, the old headmaster, he was the chairman, and he created a vice chairmanship job for me, and I got that. And when Mr. McCann retired, I became the chairman. And now Frank Duffy's doing the chairman's job now, which is great.
That's wonderful to see.
But I still keep my... although I don't get involved, I still read the paper and ask a question.
I think John finds it difficult to pick out a specific football match in terms of great memories about British Rail, but I've been lucky enough to be involved in a number of the British Rail reunions and get-togethers. And the best thing about British Rail is the camaraderie that still exists now, because there's still a band of brothers now as much as they were 50 years ago.
I told you John's second biggest moment. John's second biggest moment when Celtic won the European Cup.
With a team of Glasgow players.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah, I actually thought that was probably going to be number one. But, I point blank refuse to ask you what your footballing highlight is, just in case you give it the one that I don't want you to give.
Now, from Railway's point of view, the best, from my point of view, was when we actually won the Notts Junior Cup for the first time. I mean, we have won it since, and we've been in the final about 3 or 4 times other than
that. But it's that first time, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's that first time.
I mean, well, I played in that one. The second one, I think I was actually a sub, but I was player manager in them days, so I could put myself on near the end.
Gents, we've run out of time. 1 week back, we found a star of the future in fishing. We found the plight of a village cricket club, and we've been reminiscing with British Rail. What a fantastic first week back. We'll do it all again next week.